Because you, as God's people, you sacrificed and gave, we now have that missionary that's going over to this country. Thank you for sacrificing to give to missions. We've been able to bring on another missionary. Guess what? The next time you have another missionary that comes through, God's people are going to be, and you let them know, read a missions report. Here's what God's doing in Uganda, and here's what God's doing in Cambodia, and here's what God's doing over here. And when you let them know, here's what God is using you to do, God's people are going to say, I want to be a part of more of that. I want to do that, so seek some early victories. Number five, notice what it says in chapter 2, verse number 5 is establish a biblical culture. Establish a biblical culture. Chapter 2, verse number 13. Chapter 2, verse 13, the Bible says, and the Jews' Passover was at hand, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem and found in the temple those that sold oxen and sheep and doves and the changers of money sitting. And when he had made a scourge of small cords, he drove them all out of the temple and the sheep and the oxen, and poured out the changers' monies and overthrew the tables, and said unto them that sold doves, take these things hence and make not my Father's house an house of merchandise. Another one of these, another account in the Gospels tells us that he said, my Father's house should be called a house of prayer. What is Jesus doing, if you will? He's establishing a biblical culture very early on. He comes in and he changes the temple. He knocks over. And there might, I'm not saying that we need to be Jesus and come into our church and kick tables over. I'm not saying, but there might be some things we need to get out of our church that are not pleasing to Christ. Might be a man-centered philosophy or a false teaching that's crept in or something like that that we need to be aware of. There might be something that the church has always done, but maybe it's not biblical. And if it's not, you need to teach the people why it's not. But you need to create a biblical philosophy. As I mentioned, for 4 months, I didn't cast any vision. But then in January, the first vision night, I introduced a theme to our church. And the theme for the first year of me being pastor was, we preach Christ. And for 51 of the 52 weeks of that year, 51 of the 52 Sunday mornings, every service, every message, every series was about Christ, the teachings of Christ, the church of Christ, not the denomination of the church of Christ, but his church. And it was about his church. It was about his teachings, about his characteristics of his life. We had one called Reflect, reflecting the characteristics of Christ. We had a 12-week series on the church. What is the church that Christ died for supposed to look like? We had one on the counterintuitive teachings of Jesus Christ. The first shall be last, and the greatest shall be a servant. Those things that don't make sense to us, they're counterintuitive. And what was I trying to establish early on in my ministry? This is not about me. It's not about us doing something like somebody else does it. It's about Jesus Christ and him crucified. Amen. That in all things, that was the theme verse, he might have the preeminence. He doesn't just deserve priority in our churches, he deserves preeminence. Some of us give him priority. He's second or third or fourth or fifth. He wants first place in every area of our lives and of our churches. And I let our church know, I wanted them to know, it's not about a style of church or man-made philosophies or traditions. We're going to seek to lift up Jesus Christ. Number six, moving along. Invest individually. What did Jesus do? You learn so much if you'll, and I don't have time, but we haven't read all of these verses, but if you'll go back and study these chapters, you learn so much about Jesus at the early stages of his ministry. Notice what he did in verse number 1, chapter 3, verse 1. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. This is the very passage that was preached the day that I got saved. But what do we see here from Jesus? We see him taking time to answer questions individually. You study his ministry. We think about, man, it would be really neat if I could preach to 5,000 people. And Jesus did that. He fed 5,000. But you know what Jesus spent most of his time doing? Walking with 12 guys. 90% of his earthly ministry, maybe more than 90%, was him walking around with 12 guys and just investing in them individually. And because if we're not careful, we want to have a wide ministry that's shallow. We want to affect as many people. We want to impress as many people as we can this deep. Jesus had a very narrow ministry that was deep. He took 12 guys, and what did they do? They turned the world upside down. And it's been said, you impress from a distance, you impact one-on-one.
And Jesus was the master there. And as you're coming in to a new church ministry, invest individually. Take time for people to answer their questions, to teach them, to disciple them, to take them out to eat, to visit with them one-on-one, to visit them in the hospital, to follow up, to witness. By the way, I notice here, Nicodemus came by night. It's going to be hard work. People are going to call you at all hours of the day. If you're going to see something great happen, there's going to be some nights you're going to have to give up, and there's going to be some sacrifices you're going to have to make to invest in those people individually. Yes, it's good if you can preach to the whole crowd, whether it's 10 or 50 or 100 or 500, it's good if you can preach to the whole crowd every week, but that's not the end of your ministry as a new pastor. It's about after you preach to the whole crowd week by week, then going and investing in those people individually, building relationships, having them into the home, opening the Bible, answering questions. That's what Jesus is doing. He's sitting down. The Son of God, the Savior of the universe, is sitting down with one person answering his questions. What a great example. Invest individually. Brother Ouellette visited our church last year and preached for us, and he told me, he made the statement, he said, great churches are not built on the first mile. Go the extra mile with people. For us, since I've been there, I send every week, I mail a handwritten birthday card with a small gift to every one of our members. I write a handwritten card thanking them. And you might not be able to do this where you live. I don't know how it all works in all the different cultures, but I mail a letter, handwritten note to every first-time visitor in our church. And sometimes that's a lot of things I try to meet with on a weekly basis multiple people, whether it's for lunch or for coffee or in my home for counseling or in my office, whatever it might be, have some people into our home, take people out to eat. Why? I don't just want to stand up on Sunday and have a big public ministry. Jesus is the example. I need to invest individually. I need to have that private ministry. And then lastly, number 7, if you're coming in to an established church, the 7th thing we see with Christ, number 7, is to magnify Christ. Chapter 3, verse number 14. Chapter 3, verse number 14. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. What does it say there? As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up.
Jesus is teaching very early on in his ministry that Jesus Christ must be lifted up. And in your churches and in mine, I'm thankful for programs. I'm thankful for ideas. I'm thankful for where you can get these things. But what you need to do if you're coming in to establish, don't try to win the people to yourself necessarily. Don't come in and try to impress people with your amazing preaching skills and with your funny jokes. Lift up Jesus Christ. As the Son of Man, even as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, and another part of the Bible tells us, if Christ be lifted up, he'll draw all men unto himself. And in your church and in mine, what the people need is not the funniest preacher or the most powerful preacher or the most dynamic preacher. What they need is not the most handsome preacher or the prettiest buildings. God can use you in spite of all of those things, and that's good because I don't see the most handsome preacher in here, so God can still use you, and he can still use me. But here's the thing. What we need to do is lift up Jesus Christ. Sometimes we come into a new ministry, and we think, I've got to try that program and do this and all this. You know what you need to do? You need to love people and lift up Christ. That's what he did here to Nicodemus. Love people and lift up. Our theme last year, the first year, was we preach Christ. Our theme in 2017 comes from Matthew chapter 22, when they asked Jesus, what's the most important commandment of the 613 Old Testament laws? They're trying to trick him, and Jesus said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, thy soul, thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. The second is like unto it, thou shalt what? Love thy neighbor as thyself. And our theme last year was upward and outward. Love God, love others. And I preached that all year long. We preached from different series in different ways about upward and outward, loving God and loving others. What are we trying to do? This year, it's all about the Word. Our theme is the Word, and we're studying different things in the Bible. What am I trying to do as a pastor? Magnify Christ. I'm thankful for other churches that God's used, but I'm not trying to build Lancaster Baptist Church, and I'm not trying to build Iloilo Baptist Church, and I'm not trying to... What I'm trying to do is in Newport Beach, California, at Liberty Baptist Church, I'm trying to lift up Jesus Christ, because as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, service, so must, if we're going to see people saved and their lives changed, so must the Son of Man be lifted up. The answer isn't, and I'm thankful, get the books out here, and I get books. I buy books when I go to conferences, and I read them. The answer isn't some new idea. The answer isn't you doing your service exactly like I do my service. The answer is, for your church and mine, lift up Christ. A biblical culture. I was going to turn, we won't do it for sake of time. I was going to turn to 1 Timothy chapter 4. We won't do that. But that's a great pattern for a young minister about the example that you should be. But I'll just say this. What do we learn from Jesus as he was starting his earthly ministry? And what would I challenge you as you're entering into maybe an established church or a new church? I would say what we learn from Jesus is build a team. Ask God to give you some people, some co-laborers that you can invest in to build a team to rally around the cause that God's called you to. Number two, cast vision. Greater things than these you'll see. You didn't come there to take care of what's already there. You came there to lead that ministry forward for the glory of God. Number three, be wise in your timing. Number four, seek early victories and highlight them for the people. Number five, establish a biblical culture. Get rid of, there might be some things you have to get rid of in your church. Might be some things you have to get rid of in your own life. Number six, invest individually, love people. And number seven, magnify Christ, love God. And may I say this? What do we see with Jesus? He was the perfect leader, and he had all kinds of enemies. And if you're a pastor, you're going to have all kinds of opposition. And what did Jesus do? He kept loving people. He kept lifting himself up. And he kept changing lives. He didn't let the obstacles and the opposition and the opponents trip him up. And may I say to you, if you're going to lead a group of people for God's glory, you're going to have obstacles and you're going to have opponents. You're going to have opposition. But like Jesus, keep loving people, investing individually, and lifting up Christ. And don't let those keep pressing on. Don't let the enemies, don't let the attacks, don't let the critics stop you. Keep going forward. And if you do, God might just use you to impact a dozen men that might turn the world upside down for the cause of Christ. Lord, I thank you for these men. I pray that maybe one thought would have been a help somewhere to somebody. I pray you'd bless each ministry, each life, each family represented here. We ask these things in your name. Amen.